Maseches Peah Perek Ches Mishnah Zayin. This is a very fascinating and fundamental Mishnah that discusses the obligations of a community to support its poor people and the poor people passing through its town. The Mishnah begins by saying, "Ein po chasen la'ani ha'over makom la'makom." If one has a poor person passing through a town, one may not provide him with less than mikikar befundion me'arba san besela. This phrase confounds lots of people who have learned the Mishnah many times. Let's put it aside for a second. I'll come back to the end of the Mishnah. It simply means he's given enough bread that he can have two meals. That's what the words mean, ultimately. As far as the math, to get there, I will come back at the end of the Mishnah. So, but the Mishnah's first point, there are a number of points in the Mishnah. The first point is, if there is a itinerant poor person passing through town, the city must provide him with bread, enough bread for two meals. Lan, says the Mishnah, if that poor person isn't just passing through, but he plans on staying for the night, then it's an obligation on the community to provide him not just with food, but also nos no parnassus lina. They must provide him also with his parnassa. You see, doesn't just mean food here. It means all his material requirements. So the requirements he has for lina, for staying overnight, the word lina, staying overnight, which would mean in addition to food, of the loaf of bread for two meals, he must also be provided with a place to sleep and bedding. Shabbos, if he stays not just overnight, but he stays for a particular Shabbos, so then nos no mazon shalosh su'udos. In addition to the usual two meals out of bread, in addition to a place to sleep, he must be provided with enough to have food for three meals. There's an obligation to have three meals on Shabbos, of course, so therefore he must have food for all three Shabbos meals. You see here that the word transitioned from simply being a loaf of bread with a specific measure to being mazon, food in general. Tosefta says he also gets fish and vegetables, of course, because it's Shabbos. He has to have more than just plain bread for Shabbos, and therefore he'll have three meals for his Shabbos meals. Now, the Mishnah continues on by discussing the various institutions that communities had in the time of the Mishnah to support people. There were two separate institutions. One's called the Kupa, and one's called the Tamchui. The Kupa was there to take care of the local poor, and the Tamchui was there to take care of people who were just passing through, who had immediate needs. So the Kupa is a financial collection. It happens once a week. Once a week on a Friday, there'll be a collection of money that goes to the Kupa. Kupa literally means box. And with those monies, the needs of the local poor were taken care of. And as for the tamchui, that which means like a tray or a plate. So the tamchui was a plate that was passed around at Shacharis time, and food, readily eaten food, was put on that plate and given to the people passing through the city. So tamchui for people who are hungry today, kupa for people who have ongoing financial needs. The Mishnah says, therefore, Mishesh lo mazon shtei su'udos, if someone has enough food for two meals, so his needs for today are being met in terms of food needs, lo yitol min ha-tamchui, he has no permission to take from the tamchui, from that tray that was passed around, with readily eaten foods, because that's for people who have not enough food for today itself. Mazon arba'asra su'udos, if he has food for 14 meals, meaning a whole week's worth of meals, lo yitol min ha-kupa, then he has no right to take from the kupa. The idea here being, of course, that he's taking care for the whole week, so the kupa is not for him. If you make a cheshbon and think, wait a second, if you have two meals every day and three meals on Shabbos, that's 15 meals, not 14 meals. So the answer is that you could have two meals on a Friday, you know, one Friday morning and one Friday evening, Leil Shabbos, that's your first Shabbos meal. And then on Saturday, you could have two meals, but one would be Saturday morning, that's your Shabbos day meal, and one would be Saturday afternoon, that will be your Shalosh Shudas, your third meal on Shabbos, and you wouldn't eat another meal on Motzi Shabbos. You see from here that the obligation for Malava Malka is certainly not as strict as the other Sudas. And in fact, the community has an obligation to provide for Malava Malka for a person who is too poor to afford his own. The Mishnah continues on by saying, HaKupa nigbes b'shnaim u'mitchalaket b'shlosha. The Kupa, remember, that was the box that was a money collection. That is to say, the community effectively collected a tax on each of the residents to get money to provide for the resident poor of that city. And in so doing, essentially what you've done is you have to assess how much people can give and how much people are to receive. Now, the amount that people give, essentially the people empowered by the city's officials to collect the kupa, they were in a makom srara, a position of authority, and they actually were authorized to confiscate possessions of families who didn't give money to the kupa in the amount that the city officials deemed was appropriate for their given level of wealth. And there's a rule that in a makom srara, a position of authority, it says the Mishan Shkalim, the fifth parak Mishnah base, can't be on a single person, but rather must be divided amongst two people to avoid one person having power over another and exerting that power in an unjudicious, you know, capricious fashion. And therefore, the rule is when it comes to a position of authority, srara, there must be two people who work together, putting each person in check to limit the amount or hopefully prevent any injustices or, you know, extortion or exertion of power. So that's why you need to have two people when you do the collection for the kupa. Now, as far as the distribution of the kupa, so there it's made as a judgment call to each recipient based on his family and what his family's needs are. And therefore, essentially, it's like a almost like a mini bezin that's being set up to size up and determine the needs of this particular family. And that isn't done by an individual, it's done by a bezin. And a bezin requires a minimum of three. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Hakupa nigbis bishnayim, the collection for the kupa done on that Friday morning, the cash collection done by city officials, actually levying essentially a tax on the various residents of the city, must be done with two people. That way, there's no one person who can exercise inordinate or unfair power. And umitchalekes bishlosha, it's distributed with three people because, again, people who are doing the distributing will size up the needs of the particular family, and that's a function of a bezin, which requires three. Now, we're going to go back in the Mishnah to that one line, which is really mathematical in nature. It's not that difficult, but hopefully we'll get it once and for all clear, and you'll feel great about it. So here's how it goes. The Mishnah said, from the beginning again, "Ein pochasim la'ani ha'over makom la'makom," when you have an itinerant poor person passing through your town, you can't give them less than, and the meaning of this phrase is enough bread for two meals. Now, here the Mishnah's literal words say, mikikar, a loaf of bread, befundion, that costs one pundion, me'arba sa'an besela, at a time when four sa'a of flour costs one sela, coin. Okay, so that sounds very complicated. It's not that complicated. Here we go, and I'm going to attach a picture so you'll make sense of it, and you're going to feel good about having this piece of the Mishnah down. We learned a couple Mishnahs ago that the amount of flour you give as Maisra Ani, if it's wheat flour, to a poor person, so that he should have enough flour to make a loaf of bread that will satisfy him for two meals, is one half of a kav of wheat flour. And we said a kav, if you just want to imagine it, is about 2 liters. So a half a kav is basically 1 liter of wheat kernels. But when you actually process the wheat kernels, of course, that's a lot of work. You got to grind them, you got to sift them, et cetera, to make the flour. And you lose a lot of the bulk when you do the, you know, the grinding, the sifting to get the bran out, et cetera. So it will turn out that a half of a kav of wheat kernels will produce roughly a quarter of a kav, I mean 50% goes to waste, a quarter of a kav of flour, okay? So a quarter of a kav of flour is what's required to produce the bread that will satisfy one person for two meals. Okay, so now we have to figure out the cost of one quarter kav of flour. Okay, so we have, the Mishnah says it's when four sa'a of flour cost one sela. Let's break that down. Four sa'a, there are six kav in one sa'a. Again, we imagine a kav is a 2 liter bottle. A sa'a is a six pack of 2 liter bottles. So if you have four sa'a and each sa'a has six kav in, you'll have a total of 24 kav in four sa'a. Now, if you now consider the sela part of it, so for we can translate, we can say four sods equivalent of 24 kav. As far as a sela goes, that's the amount that these 24 kav will cost. So in each sela, there are four shekel. And in each shekel, there are six ma'a. So that means there's four times six is 24 ma'ot in a sela. And there's two pundion in every ma'a. So that means there's 48 pundion in one sela. Therefore, the Mishnah says, you're going to give a pundion loaf of bread when flour costs four sa'a per sela, which is the same as saying 24 kav per 48 pundion. So if 24 kav costs 48 pundion, one kav costs two pundion, and half a kav of flour costs one pundion. Okay? And we said that half a kav of flour is the equivalent of two meals. Now, in value, we said half a kav of wheat kernels is, and the two Mishnahs ago, half a kav of wheat kernels is enough for two meals. But you can exchange those wheat kernels. If you're going to turn them into flour, you'll have to grind them down. Okay? And if you grind them down, you're ending up with not half a kav, but a quarter of a kav. A quarter of a kav of flour. So we're saying now that the cost of the materials of a quarter kav of flour is half a pundion. Kutzu said that half a kav is one pundion. So a quarter kav is half a pundion. But remember, just because you have a quarter kav of flour, which is what you need to make the loaf of bread for two meals, and you can buy that for half a pundion, you still have to pay someone to do the labor of grinding and sifting, etc. And that also costs half a pundion. So the amount of bread that it takes to feed a person for two meals costs a whole pundion. Half of the cost is labor, and half of the cost is material. So it will come out then that one loaf of bread for two meals contains a quarter kav of flour, which costs half a pundion. And that quarter kav of flour started out as half a kav of wheat kernels that had to be processed, grinding, sifting, kneading, etc., baking, and that also costs half a pundion. So the total cost of one loaf of bread for two meals will be one pundion, assuming that flour costs four sa per sela. Okay? The picture below that I'm going to attach here hopefully will clarify it further. And again, when the dust settles, no pun intended, of flour dust, it will come out then that we're saying that an itinerant poor person passing through town should receive no less than enough bread for two meals. And then the rest just becomes the math to figure out how that works out.